Mercy and you, mercy and peace from God our Father and from Christ Jesus our Lord. The text for this morning is the gospel lesson which was read just a few minutes ago from the lesson, the story of the householder and his vineyard. Familiar in those days lived content. It may be a cliche, but there is a great deal of truth in it. In many cases, it's not content that familiarity brings, but rather an apathy, a taking for granted, an acceptance of that which has come to be common because it is so much a part of our day-to-day existence. Somehow or other, it's always the exotic, which is attractive and seemingly valuable. And yet God has made many things common because they are useful, valuable, and sometimes even essential. Take water, for instance, a very common substance, but one with very unique properties which fit it for its role in both the living and the non-living world. It has a energy-holding capacity, a quality which assists it in stabilizing temperatures and in smoothing out the variations between day and night. It is an effective cooling agent, absorbing large quantities of heat as it changes from a liquid to a vapor state, so that it serves to keep us from overheating in the process we call perspiration. Below 39 degrees Fahrenheit, it becomes lighter as the temperature drops, so that I'm split, and so that below it, there is a place provided for aquatic plants and animals to survive the winter. Yes, water is indeed a unique substance, but it's very common. And because God has made it so common, we take it for granted. Even the whole life without it would be inconceivable. Only occasionally are we reminded of how important it is when the quantities available do not meet what we seem to feel are our basic needs. The prophecy of the gospel, familiarity breeds contempt. People who have always known it take it for granted. They accept it almost as they do. They don't fully appreciate it because they've never been without it. That's why converts are often more enthusiastic for the faith than those who have been baptized into it. I recall that when I visited New Guinea some 7 years ago, the major topic at the pastoral conference was the question of what could be done to overcome the apathy and even the apostasy of the younger generation. Parents who had come to the faith and who had moved from the Stone Age to modern times in perhaps a decade or so were fiercely loyal to that faith because they had known the time when they had feared their God and when they had also feared the hostile environment. And yet, the younger generation did not have that same high regard because they had never known the fears that their parents knew. And so, instead of favoring Christianity, they had come to take it for granted. There's also a hazard for us who deal day in and day out with God's word. We too may take it for granted. We may fail to appreciate the gospel promises. Indeed, at times, familiarity brings not only apathy and a taking for granted, but a contempt in the fullest sense of the word. That's really the thrust of our text. It isn't talking about people who take God for granted and his word. It's talking about people who actively oppose God's Son, whom he has sent. And that's also the warning of Isaiah's words in the Old Testament lesson which we read. People talk from an apathy and are taken for granted to an opposition and an active hatred of the word. They come to despise God and his way of salvation. Despise his repeated bounty reminds them of the responsibilities which they have to him. Once we regard God's gifts as cheap because they are common, we are likely not only to take them for granted, but even at times to turn our backs on them. That has happened to many people who have called themselves Christians. It can happen to seminarians, to pastors, and also to theological professors. Justification, for instance, isn't really rational. It isn't logical. God really ought to require something of those whom he is granting forgiveness. Then he ought to be more open in punishing sinners. Or what he tells us in this word runs contrary to our daily experiences and to our wisdom. The miracles, for instance. And so we go from apathy to active opposition. But let's not stop here. Our text has a gospel ending, and we do not want to overlook that. Indeed, it would be tragic to do so. The story is to the rebellious rejection has become the head of the carnage. It has become for us the way of salvation. God has sent his Son to redeem all of us, even though we too have despised his gift. All of us fit into the category of those coming who despise the Lord of the vineyard. We've not given God his due because we have not kept his law. We resent it. Those who have pointed out our sins and shortcomings, even servants of the Lord or God himself in his word. But God has sent his Son to be the head of the corner, the means by which salvation and forgiveness are gained. This is the Lord's doing. It is the Lord's work. He doesn't ask revenge, and he doesn't ask payment for the forgiveness to be offered. He offers it fully and freely. Yes, it's as free as water. But it's also as unique as water and as necessary for our spiritual life. Amen.